As we open our Sunday school time in the light of the sickness and all of that, so perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word, thy grace, and all that you're doing. Take care of the sick, the weak. God, here we are. So God, help us that we would have the benefit of the moments. And our Father will thank you very, very much. Deal with all of us. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of Hebrews, you may want to go over to Exodus 19 for a moment. And remember, as we've been looking at Hebrews, it's helping the people understand that the law, which was prevalent and very much observed and understood, I should say, in that day, that was there, that the law had been finished. Christ died on the cross and fulfilled all the law. But the temple was still standing, and Judaism was very much alive, especially in Jerusalem. So Exodus, Hebrews is telling us that the law can make nothing perfect. The priesthood makes nothing perfect. The priests keep the law. The law is for the priest to exercise. They can't exercise it. All they can do is show the law. That's why they dressed, as we shared, their uniform, their clothes, their food, their approach to the tabernacle. Everything they did was governed by to demonstrate their relationship to God. In themselves, they were just like everybody else. But the priesthood, Levitical priesthood, and that, they were given the privilege of serving, representing the whole nation before God. How did they represent them? With their uniform, their obedience to their sacrifices, everything, what they ate and what they did. In themselves, they're no different. But their outward appearance is what was demonstrating the Lord Jesus Christ would come and make all of that possible. He is the perfect one to make it possible. And therefore, so the priesthood can't save anybody. The law can't save anybody. Now, going back though, we were looking at obedience and hearing. And just to remind yourself, here's Exodus chapter 19, and picking up in verse 5 and 19. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar, special, prized, privileged people, treasure unto me above all people, all the people, for all the earth is mine. So they were given a super duper position in God's grace. And the little word obey is the word to hear. Obey, Hebrew, to hear with the ear. You hear with the ear, and thus you know what to do, to obey. That's what they were to do, verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, are you hearing what I'm telling you? I'm telling you, you're a special people. I'm going to give you special privileges. I want you to exercise that relationship to me that honors me in what I'm doing for you. I'm making you a very special people. Do you hear me? /obey. Obey. Do you hear me? And so all they had to do was say thank you. That's all they had to do. So when we come, if I can, chapter 19 to chapter 20. Before I do that, I don't want to jump too fast. Go and read chapter 19 and verse 8, their response, I don't want to jump to here, their response to the hear and obey what I'm telling you, and thank you, say thank you. Verse 8, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. The little verb do is to labor, to work, to roll up your sleeves and go to work and do it. Isn't the same as hearing. Hearing, do you hear me? It isn't that. No, you tell us what you want and we'll roll up our sleeves and do it. Well, how are you going to become a special people? How are you going to be a peculiar treasure? How on earth could you possibly do that? You can't. You can't. But we'll do it. We're going to go and do it. They can't. So, chapter 20 now. And in chapter 20, picking up, please, slide number, the Ten Commandments, chapter 20. And when we come to verse 19, speak, and they said unto Moses, remember, God has just given the commandments, verse 19, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, we will hear. Now that's the word to hear, the ear, hear, obey. We will hear you, Moses, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. So, Exodus 19:5, all they had to do was hear God and thank God for what he was going to do. They're going to draw it with their own effort. So here comes God's word, they're hearing. God speaks his word, his commandments, and they heard him with the ear. Right, they heard right, but they don't want to hear anymore. They don't want to hear anymore, because why? We'll die. Deuteronomy, the Ten Commandments, again repeated at the end of 40 years. Deuteronomy chapter 5, remember. Uh-huh. And in chapter 5, the whole section's wonderful again, but just to get the movement of it, chapter 5, right in the middle, that Moses is, they gave the hearing, and they say the same thing again, verse 25, 5 and 25. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, we shall die. So we don't want to hear God anymore. Verse 27. Go thou near, Moses, hear, there's your little word, hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee. And we will hear it and do it. We put both words together. We're going to hear it and we're going to do it. That's wonderful, Moses. You deliver the word. And that's the whole point. God, that's authority. When the Supreme Court or whatever, the highest form of power, the king, says something, you're sort of stuck because there's no higher. God, if God said, who's above God? Who can challenge God? The authority is from God. You don't argue with God. The devil himself wouldn't do that. You don't argue with God. But if you can get another way to get it without God, and we shared all this before. So, Moses, you get it. And when you get it, you hear it and you can tell us what is said. And that's much more acceptable to us because you're just like us, Moses. You're a human. You have the same nature and everything. So Moses, you hear it, and it's much easier to deal with Moses than it is with God. So that Moses, so where do we get the five books of Moses? God gave them in his word. So we don't really have to do too much, as you'll see, in the process, because we're going to be able to go and play with it and do. So as we're going to see in a moment in the Talmud and all of that, the Jewish thing of six books, Mishnah and Gemara, and that. So what do? Well, the Bible, and then we have, but we add to the Bible the Torah. The Torah, we add the Talmud to the Torah and Bible, Old Testament, five books of Moses, and we add that. And then we're able to go and have this huge, huge growing volumes of tradition. We don't read the Bible. We're reading the Mishnah, the Talmud, I should say, the whole thing. But we aren't reading the whole thing, the Talmud, because who reads the Talmud? Who's going to read all that stuff? The scribes, the Pharisees, the rabbis, they'll read it. They'll read it. And then the people out there, so the law is totally unenforceable. By that I mean the humans cannot keep the law. The priesthood cannot perform the law. And so therefore the law, we like Moses, because we can accept it or reject it. I like what this side says, but I don't like what this side said. So I have to hear. Now this side over here says this is what God said. And this is, so, well, this is what we think God said, what we feel God said. So we're free, humans. That's why they like people. We can go and we like that speaker or what he said, or whatever he said. We like that. We're very free to eliminate the pulpit or anything you want. But you can't eliminate God's word. That's the problem. So as long as we don't get into God's word, we're going to be very comfortable with what we hear. We can switch around, do all kinds of things, whatever we want, because it's humans. It's humans. And we're free. That's why they like the Pharisees. The Pharisees followed the Talmud and all of that Judaism, and they did it with zeal. But the people didn't do it. The people could never, didn't care about doing it. How could you reject what the Pharisees are telling you? You've got to be perfect, which you can't be, because it's just Pharisees. They're just people like us called Pharisees. That's all. We're free to do it. We like it. We don't. That's the whole point, to hear. He that hath ears to hear. Therefore, over in the New Testament, just to do that a little more. And the reason I would do that for myself and that is because we talk about obeying. Obey, obey. And that's a wonderful word to obey. But it's also, I have to obey? I have to do it because I have to obey. So I like, the word isn't, it's good, but not so good. Obey me. And immediately we draw back to protect. Why? Why do I have to obey? So, but it isn't. It's here. Therefore, over if you can, Hebrews, where we're starting, looking at Hebrews in chapter 2. So we like humans doing anything, everything, because we can switch around and reject them. You can't reject God. You can't reject God. But you can back off. You can't get rid of God. You can change people. People change. Hebrews chapter 2, our little word we're looking at, obey, slash, the Greek word, the Hebrew word, obey, is the word hear. The Greek word is the obey, is the word hear, H-E-A-R, Old Testament, New Testament. Here it is. Hebrews in chapter 2, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, there's your little verb, lest at any time we should let them slip. We lose them. They go right by us like in the river, and we didn't get it. We didn't hear. We need to hear what is being said so that we know what to do. So therefore, chapter 5, and our Lord is going to use it, speaking of his death on the cross and all of that. Hebrews chapter 5, again in verse 9. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey. That's the word obey, which is the word hear. Obey me. Obey him. So what do you mean obey him? Did you hear what he said? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Did you hear it? Obey. Did you hear? That's what they do. Everyone that hears him. God, look, hold your finger here. Go back over to chapter 1. And you'll notice, please, in verse 2. God, Hebrews 1, 2. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, did you hear him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Did you hear him? Over in chapter 4, and in chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 2. Unto us, remember we did all these things. We're just reminding you of this, of how it all goes together. Verse 2, 4, 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. It didn't do any good. Why not? Not being mixed with faith. What do you need to do when you hear something? Believe it. Hear, believe it. It was not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. There's your word. They heard, but they didn't believe. They needed to believe. How much? What do we do to work the works of God? John 6, believe me, he said. Now, over in verse 7. Again, Hebrews 4, 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as he said, today if you will hear his voice, there's a little verb, hear his voice, harden not your heart. So we need to understand, do we hear? Believe him. Believe. Believe is an active verb. You're doing it. You believe the pew, you sit in it. By faith, you sit in it. Therefore, chapter 11. And in chapter 11, and verse 8, by faith Abraham, faith that mixed with hearing what God said, Abraham heard what God said. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, there's your little word, he heard, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. He just paid attention to the instructions, and he went. That's what you do. So it isn't a, we don't have to get our defenses up. Obey me, see. We don't have to do that. Am I hearing? Hearing. God's saying, are you hearing me? Now, Romans chapter 10, as we shared. And we take doing a little bit so you'll see it, because it's important. So when I read the word of God's word, I hear God's word, I intend to believe God's word. You don't understand it all, you'll never understand it all, because it's even bigger than this 66 books of the Bible, 65,000 books it would be. So what do? We believe. You don't, there's never, Ezekiel 38 and 39, I got it, but I don't got it. You see, Daniel chapter 11, I got it, but I don't got it. But I believe. God knows exactly what he said, what he's going to do. I don't have all the pieces of the puzzle. So therefore, my job is to believe God gave his word. Remember we said the form of the scripture, the Bible, 66 books, is the word of God. The subject of the 66 books is the gospel, the good news. We just read it in Hebrews 4. They heard the gospel in the Old Testament. What's the gospel? That's the 66 books of the Bible. It's about the subject is gospel. The center of the gospel, the good news, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the centerpiece. That's why John 5:39 and all of that, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. They are all about me. It's my words, giving you all that I am to say. Hear me, and exercise and believe. Hear and believe. And when you're believing, you're on your way to understanding. You can't understand and then believe. You believe and then you understand. Don't mix them up. I'll understand. No, not until you believe. You have to have sight. You can't see the color chart till your eyes are open. Believe, then you're understanding. Now, so here, so Abraham believed God. John chapter 10, I should say. And you would keep in mind John chapter 10, verse 16. And we did it, remember, last time. But they have not all obeyed. There's your little word, obey, to hear. Romans 10 and 16. But they have not all obeyed, heard the gospel. For Isaiah saith, who shall believe our report? The word report is the same as the word obey. Same word. Report, to hear something. Obey, report, the hearing. Verse 17 again. So then faith, the body of truth to be believed, that's the Bible. There's then faith cometh by hearing, there's your for the third time, and hearing the fourth time by them, by the word of God. So what are we doing? We're reading the word of God to hear, to get the word of God. For what? We got to hear it. Faith cometh by hearing. Abraham believed God. God said to Abraham, go. And Abraham didn't know. He just went. He believed God. That's what he did. Now, so keeping that, it's just hearing, simply hearing and believing. In chapter 6 of Romans. And you'll notice in chapter 6, verse 12, I'm just picking up to give you the movement. Chapter 6, verse 12. Lest not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that purpose you should obey to hear it in the lust thereof. Don't be listening to your old nature. Your old nature will louse you up. Don't hear your old nature. Chapter 6, verse 16. Again, I say it. Chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, there's your word to hear, his servants are ye to whom you obey to hear, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Who are you listening to, your old nature or God? Are you looking to God or are you looking to yourself? Simple. Obey. Hear. Who are you hearing? Who are you hearing? Who are you listening to? Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, over in 2 Thessalonians to put it together. 2 Thessalonians and you'll catch it. Second Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 8. I'll read in verse 7. First, Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey, oh, there's your word here, that hear not the gospel. They don't want to hear the good news. They don't want to know it. Moses, you get it so that we don't have to listen. And we can take and pick what we want because you're doing it. If God's doing it, we can't take and pick. We don't have the freedom. But if you do it, then we can play with it. But if you're going to let it say what it says, we're sort of stuck. Verse 8 again. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't obey. End chapter 3 where you're here. And you'll catch it in verse 14. If any man obey not, hear not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. In other words, pay attention. Are you listening to God? Believe God, trust God, and everything, all the wonderful truths, promises shall be outworked in a most wonderful way. That's why when you come to the coming to the end, as we're doing in the evening of that, over to Revelation, and in chapter 2, in Revelation chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 7. He that hath an ear to hear, there's your little word, he that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And every church, seven times, Revelation 2 and 3, he says, when he finishes something, a church, and then he said, are you here? Do you hear what I'm saying to the church? He that hath an ear to hear, underline, to hear me. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? How church history is going to go? What you have to understand, you have to have an ear to hear. Do you have an ear to hear what I'm saying? You'll do it. Otherwise, you won't. You don't have an ear. Now, back over to Hebrews, that little exercise. I hope it helped. Helps me. Hope it helped you. Hebrews in chapter 8. And picking up, if I can, chapter 8 and in verse 10. Remember now, when you come to verse 10, what God is going to do is help you understand, verse 10, for this is the covenant, the new covenant, new contract, new relationship Israel's to have to God in the days of the future coming up. This, so when I have verse 10, 11, and 12, it's telling me about the new covenant. What is this new covenant? Verse 10, 11, and 12. This is what I'm going to show you, what the new covenant is. So you don't have to guess at it. I'm going to tell you what it is. Now, remember now, this is the same quoting from Jeremiah 31 through 34. We're doing that on Wednesday night. So at the same time, we're doing this, but I'm trying to do it so that what we do on Wednesday, in the same thing, is different than what we do Sunday school. So you can't say, yeah, I heard it in Sunday school, see? So you can't say that, because I didn't tell you that, see? Anyway, it's different. We're looking at the same thing. Hebrews in chapter 8 and in verse 10, describing the covenant. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their mind and write them in their hearts, and it shall be to them a God, and I shall be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Now, having said that, and looking at that in verse 10, God is going to go and he's going to make some wonderful, wonderful purposes and fulfill them. And that covenant involves I'm going to put my law into their mind. I'm going to put it, place it into their mind and heart. That's what I'm going to do. I did it once, Exodus 24 then. I did it once when I wrote on the tablets of stone and Moses brought them down from Mount Sinai. I wrote my law. I'm going to write my law, not on tablets of stone. I'm going to put my law, write my law on their heart. That's what I'm going to do. Different. If I tell them to try to keep something, all that you say, God, we will do. But you can't. You can't do it. You don't have it in you. You can't produce the righteousness that God requires. You can't do it. No matter how you cut the cookie. Illustration that may, just for the whatever, make believe you're going to go and build the wall out here. And I built the wall, a wall to block something, just make a wall for protection. I put the wall up and I did the wall. And I feel real good about it because I did the wall. And I mean, it looks pretty good. And then I have Steve come over here. And he comes over and I tell Steve, I want you to see my wall. I did it, Steve. I did it. Steve says, wow. Wow, what a neat wall. Wow. And then I have someone else come, John back there. And John comes over. And I'm so, so proud. I'm getting excited about my wall. And John comes over and I say, John, what do you think of my wall? And John says, well, it's all right. Yeah, it should be all right, John. I made it. I did it. You see. And then John goes away and comes back with a plumb line. He comes back with a plumb line and he sets the line up to measure the wall. You would never know how crooked it was till he put the plumb line up, you see. We try to measure ourselves by ourselves and we get other people. Other groups, get a whole group, you can get a group, a whole thousands of people to agree with you. And say, until God comes along. And God said, let's see how it measures up to my righteousness. And we flunk. That's why you have the statement in Romans 3:23. For all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all flunk out. Everyone flunks. But we can get a lot of people to make us happy and glad and we're right. And no, sir, when you test it before God, let's see if it'll come out. That doesn't come out. There is none righteous, Romans 3. There is not a righteous man or woman on the planet Earth. They're all dead in sins. And I came to save them in a most wonderful way. Anyway, that's just a illustration. It's easy to see because we do it because we feel good about each other. You know, yay. But is it going to measure up? Then, so here, Hebrews chapter 8, picking up, please. God's going to put the law in their heart, in their mind, in their thinking. God's going to do that so that they have it. Now let's exercise that. How does God put his law in their heart to think? Now, in order to catch that, to see it, let's go to the beginning. Think of Genesis 6 and all of having that, no legislation, etc. Over to Romans chapter 1 again. Romans in chapter 1. What did people refuse to do in Genesis chapter 6? What did they refuse? What did they keep refusing to do all through history? They refused to believe. They don't want to hear. He that heareth my word and believe. They didn't want to believe. So therefore, understanding what they knew, point, what they knew. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold, remember the word hold, to heaven to hold, the truth in an unrighteous way. You have your Bible in your hand. You have the truth. They're holding it in unbelief. They're not honoring it. They have it. It isn't that they didn't have it. God, they had the truth. They know. They know. How could they not know in Genesis 6? They knew because there was no religion and no politics, just God. So they knew. They knew. And sliding down, so they have truth without righteousness. And by the way, as we're looking at around it, there's no legislation. There's nothing says all of these things you will do. No, God, remember we shared these things a thousand times. The little babies born on planet Earth from Abel and Cain all the way down to the end of the millennium. And they're all born. And they come to know the Lord. How? Because the little baby is going to grow up. They could grow up in the middle of a pagan Australian kangaroo desert, whatever. They could do that. They could grow up in New York City. Wouldn't make any difference. That little kid could be the lousiest surroundings in the world. God makes himself known to that little kid. And that little kid knows. So either we're going to let that develop in the little kid and encourage it, or else we're going to be the normal humans. And the little kid says, I believe. That's why they can pray and look to God. But we don't believe, we don't practice. So therefore, they grow and they pick up where we're coming from, and they don't believe. They don't believe. So what? But God has showed it, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest, public, plain, clear, simple, where? In them. Why? For God hath showed it unto them. I've said that a thousand times if I said it once. So no one's on planet Earth ever born that doesn't know. Not because of us humans, because God says it to the little kid. The little kid knows. It's just what's going to happen to the world in which he lives. Therefore, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, his deity, so that they are without excuse. Because, verse 20, that when they knew God, they knew, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They knew, and they rejected what they knew. That's why they're lost. It's nothing to do with you or me or mommy and daddy. It has to do with God. It has to do with God. So therefore, what do you know? There's no legislation. It was just God. They should know God. God said, I'm here. What? It's going to come up here in a minute. And God said, I'm here. And they knew. They didn't want to know God. They didn't want to hear God, know God. That's it. And there's no law. There's no legislation. There's no thou shalt and thou shalt not. There's nothing. All they had to do was receive him and recognize his person and presence. That's all they had to do. That's all. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God's wonderful, wonderful working, slide over it if I can, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 28, And even as they did not like to retain, the word to retain, to heaven to hold God, where they didn't want to have God in their head. What do we know from Exodus, Deuteronomy 5 and that? Moses, all that you hear, you tell us. We don't want to hear from God. We don't want to hear from God because there's nothing we can do when God says it. We're stuck. You can't change it. I can't change it. Therefore, they glorified not him as God. And their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened. So they knew and glorified him not as God. And therefore, they turned their back on God. And having refused, they rejected God. They wouldn't receive him. In verse 28, I didn't mean to keep going. God, in verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or fitting, to do everything that you shouldn't do in the wrong way, to mess up family, friends, sex, everything, to mess the whole ball game up. And that's what God said. I gave you up to it. I gave them up. Notice verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to their vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, etc., etc. Verse 27, etc. They did it. That's why we're where we're at in our country. Other countries, in they have all their bad stuff. But Muslims, etc., you know, they would have a little more stuff that gets in our country. Another country, you'd be in jail or you'd be dead. If you were in sexual stuff, you'd be dead. Jail. Our country, so what's killing our country? The immorality, and as we're going to do that tonight, I think, it gets the land, you know, Deuteronomy, that God said the land we live on will only take so many years and so many generations of corruption, and then the land will spew you up and the nations disappear. Babylon disappears, Media Persia disappears, Greece disappears, Rome disappears. It will not have been only so long on planet Earth, and God said that's enough, and they're gone. That's where we're headed. That's the key, the pushing all of this bad stuff out there, the socialism and everything. Now, Marxism, communism. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure, underline, in them that do them. We do the same thing, we have pleasure, and we applaud all the stuff that's wrong. And a handful of people running the country is that kind of thing. Anyway, now, having said that little bit, back over, if I can, to Hebrews. And in the process, what do we illustrate? The people had an understanding of God. God helped them understand. God taught them. All they had to do was pay attention to what they knew. What are you going to do in a new covenant? I'm going to put my law in their mind. They're going to know I'm God. They're going to know it. There'll be no guessing. They're going to know it. That's what they're going to do in a most wonderful way. They don't need a law. I'm going to put it in their mind. Now, how are you going to do that? Jumping ahead. I'm going to be, you'll see, well, pick it up. You'll catch it. In verse 10. So A, they're going to have to think. God, do I have to think? No, so everything is going to be in such a way that you will not have a religion. In the millennium, there's no religion. There's no politics. There's no devil. There's nothing except light and right and you live in the middle of light and right. That's what you live in. Do you know the light's there? Do you know what right is? Everyone. There's no one. You turn on television. You turn on television or whatever you have, spaceship or something, and you get all of these different things. There's nothing anywhere by any person that would give a negative of what's going on. Everyone knows what's right. So there's no question. No question. Everyone will know what's right. And everything, like in the Garden of Eden, only in the kingdom, everything is right. You don't get sick. There's no police force, no army, nothing. Just God. And everyone born knows it's God. They all know. So what do they have? Well, they have a wonderful, wonderful reality. I'll put my law in their hearts, in their minds, in their heart and mind. They don't have to think about it. They don't have to think about it. Who's your mother and father? Boom. Who's the king? Boom. See? There's no question. They just know. No one has to tell them. You'll see it coming up, chapter 10. I will put my law in their thinking. So therefore, God's wonderful, wonderful power and work, and God's going to do it. And their mind and their understanding. And their, plural, mind, this mind is singular. So interestingly enough, in that millennium, they're all going to have in their head the same thinking, mind in singular. Mind in the singular. All of us have the same mind. All of us have the same mind. Every one of us understand the same thing. Understand it all. In a millennium, there's no one that's going to be stupid. They just know. They just plain know. Hang on to all of that comes together. Now, having said that, picking up, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, that I will put my law into their mind and write them in their hearts. That's what I'm going to do. So there's no question I'm going to inscribe to where the word write, like to engrave on the stone, to engrave in the heart. I'm going to put it in their heart so that they know. So there's no question in their understanding. There's no way. Remember what we read in Romans 1 that they rejected. In the kingdom, they're going to have to receive it. They're going to have to believe because he's there. He's there in all of his wonderful glory in the kingdom time. Now, having said that, to write it in their hearts, and I will put it in my Torah, as it were, the Torah, the law. And the word law there means the word, and you have in verse 10, the word instruction, guidance, direction, regulation, all of those three, four words, all of it describe the law, the instruction, the direction, the regulation. They're to have an intelligent devotion and a devoted intelligence. An intelligent devotion to God and a devoted intelligence to God. They got it. That's what you're going to have. Else, he rules with what? A rod of iron. See. Now, having said that, so it's a new covenant. God's not going to write it on stone. He's going to write it in their heart. And the end of verse 10, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They're going to have an awesome, wonderful relationship about God. What did you read in Romans chapter 1 that they rejected? They knew God, and they rejected him as God, rejected the Creator, loving the creation and making stones and birds and bugs gods, stars, and not God. They're going to know God in a wonderful way. Who is not Allah and none of that. It's going to be plain old, wonderfully God. Romans 1, they should have known. Kingdom, they're going to know. Everyone's going to know. So there's no question now. So when you do that, keep in mind, it doesn't make any difference. We can just keep going. At this point, we're so low. Anyway, so in the process, I will be God to them in a most wonderful way. And now, God, that's what you're going to be. And to catch that, a way to catch it, all different kinds of ways to see it. I am the God. Remember, here's Moses. Moses is to be encouraged in Exodus 3 at the burning bush. What is Moses to understand about God who's in the bush? I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. I am your God. Of all the gods of Egypt, of all the different religions and systems, philosophies that were there and are there even now, today, I will be gone. Thomas, what are you going to say after the resurrection? What are you going to say when you could put your hand in his side and see the nail prints in his hand? What are you going to say? My Lord and my God. Exodus, Revelation 21. Revelation 21. We'll have to close with that. I hope you got a little bit. Actually, we could keep going. I mean, what can I tell you? Exodus 21. And maybe you'll catch it. This is in the new heaven and a new earth. What's it going to be like? Kingdom's going to go to the new heaven and a new earth. So when I come to a new heavens, verse chapter 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I didn't see heavens. I saw a heaven. Right now, there are three, the atmosphere, and our atmosphere, and then there's a second heaven up there, way up in with 1,000 trillion galaxies, and then there's gone third heaven. But then there'll be just one heaven. Chapter 21, in verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And I haven't got that. Now, for us, right now, that's all of that's true. Now, closing, over to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, picking up, in chapter 6. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. This is all of that wonderful thing. Now, here we are. Here we are sitting here. God help us. So, verse 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. We have a unique relationship to God as his body, as believers belonging to his wonderful person to enjoy God. I'll read verse 16, the end of it. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, sliding down. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 18, underline, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. I will be your God. I will be your father. That's what I'm going to be. Abba, Father, my Father. I will be your God. I got to quit. Hope you got a little bit.